In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you are here with us for this first Sunday in Advent as we move into a new season of the church year. I am particularly happy to welcome one of our candidates for ministry in this church, Kathy Cooper, who is bringing the message this morning and sharing with us today. Please take time to sign the friendship pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of the pew and note any new information that you would like to make sure that we have as we try to keep in touch with you about things that are happening in the life and ministry here in these days. Join us for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room, where we are always welcoming folks to help us make coffee hour happen. So please, if you have any questions about that, you can talk to Matt Harrison or sign up on the bulletin board to be part of that on a Sunday morning. But we welcome all of you to fellowship this morning, and particularly if you're visiting with us, we hope that you will take time to meet and greet us following the worship service as we gather together. I am in need of someone to go with me this afternoon to take home communion to Peter Holscher after coffee hour. If you are a deacon or elder type, active or inactive right now, you're welcome to let me know that you would be willing to join me as we go and visit Peter after church today. I would like to say thank you to all of those of you who volunteered to help at Camp Street this week to help fill about 400 plus boxes for our neighbors in need. It was really nice to see so many folks out there in different timings. Today is our pledge dedication Sunday for 2014 pledges, and if you forgot your pledge card but have already prayerfully considered what your financial commitment is, we would love to have that this Sunday so that we could move into our session time on Thursday with as much information as possible. On the back table, Bob Pearson, there's some pledge cards behind Bob Pearson. Wave your hand, Bob. And Jill, wave your hand, Jill, on that table too. So if you need a pledge card, they're there. We'll be dedicating during the offering today. I know that we have a number of announcements in the calendar today, so please take note of that. Please keep track of it on the webpage as things have a way of shifting around. I know that we'll have a number of announcements of things that are happening in this week, but I wanted to draw your attention to Friday night. John Abernathy from our congregation. John, you're going to have to wave too. John is performing Live for Life, and there's information about that in the bulletin board in the Hope Room on our PPC News bulletin board. It's going to be a great concert, and I'm going, and I know others are going, and so take a look at it and see. I have a couple of extra tickets, and I think there's still tickets available, but you have to buy them in advance, so you have to plan ahead at least by Friday. So please take advantage of that, and if you miss John on Friday, he's going to be part of our music for the second week of TNT. So I will have Gina give the TNT announcement at this point.
As Pastor Chris mentioned, TNT is starting this week, this Tuesday night, from 6 to 8 p.m. We start off with the first hour with a shared meal. So if you are able to bring a dish to share, we have a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the Hope Room. And this week's theme is casserole night. You do not have to bring a casserole. You can bring a side dish or a dessert or drinks. But please sign up on the bulletin board if you are able to bring something. And it seems that my announcements may have been missed, especially by my husband, who didn't realize that TNT this year is going to be done differently. There won't be different offerings this time around. It will be one big offering, one big group. We will be in the sanctuary holding a time of worship, a time to sing some favorite songs, and music led by the worship band, and then we will also enter this week. The themes for TNT this time in Advent will be focusing on the the passages in Luke, on the Advent story in Luke, and we'll be learning a new way of reading scripture called Lectio Divina this Tuesday. So if you're interested, please come. It will be a nice time to gather together as a group, as a congregation, in this special season of Advent. So I hope you can join us.
Next Sunday, I hope all of our college students got the word that that brunch is next Sunday, not this Sunday. They're nodding yes, so we're hoping that everyone got that word, hosted by the Ramseys and the Wadias. So tell your friends, and we'll collect the people who have scattered for Thanksgiving as well. Also next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have been invited to be part of a CD launch party for Joseph Kamatu. Joseph and Jane Kamatu, our Kenyan friends, are launching a new music CD in Lowell, Massachusetts at 3 o'clock. And if you would like to be part of that, there's more information on the Mission Bulletin Board as to where that is and when and all of those details. And I know that Jenny has an announcement as well.
We will also be beginning alternative giving next Sunday, which is your opportunity to support different local and international organizations and give gifts instead of physical gifts. You're giving a donation to the different organizations. And we are also going to be selling alternative giving on Tuesday nights as well during TNT. But what I'm looking for is if anybody is interested in helping out with selling alternative giving and helping possibly even next Saturday, we're going to be putting up the bulletin board. If anybody's interested in helping during those Tuesday nights or on Sunday after church when we're selling the alternative giving or helping put up the bulletin board next Saturday, please come see me after church, and you'll hear more about it next Sunday.
And next Saturday
is December 7th from 10 o'clock to 12 in the afternoon, is we have a tradition of decorating the church. The Christmas season is upon us. So please come join us. We have new decorations now that is a lot easier to put up. So come join us if you have any free time. We have plenty of coffee, Christmas carols. It's just a fun, fun time. So please come join us. Thanks.
It's a great way to get to know other people in the life of the, life and ministry of the congregation and really talk to people.
A couple more Advent announcements. I hope that you noticed some offerings on the wall in the foyer. The Arts Committee got together and put together something. We hope you'll take a little time and poke around. Celebrate and meditate the many myriad ways that people get on the path to worshiping Jesus and to walking the walk and eventually to heaven. We were inspired by some spirituals and woodcuts, and we hope that you would also feel free to give us your feedback and maybe participate in the Arts Committee if you're so led. Also, there's a poinsettia sign-up if anybody wants to provide poinsettias for the front of the church for the Christmas season. Joanne Navilliat and Dorothy Lusignan will be taking your orders for those.
Jim?
I'm rising to promote the Sunday morning Bible study. It's an hour before church. Do you know why they call it the couches room? Justin, do you have any idea why they call it the couches room? Judy? The couch? Because there's couches. There's about five couches up in that room. Very comfortable. And we get together to study the Bible. And you understand what I mean by studying the Bible. It's a lot easier if you're in a comfortable couch to get challenged by the Bible. Now, we're going to continue having that Bible study. We're studying Mark, the Gospel according to Mark. And Gerson and myself are going to be leading that. And we would like to see people who are interested to find us and to join in the Bible study. So that's Sunday morning, unless you're in the choir, and then you can't come.
Okay, thanks. Please do take note of the bulletin and the calendars, because there is lots happening in these days. Watch and wait. It is the season of Advent, so come, let us worship God.
Today, today is the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of hope. Okay. Our hope is in God, in God's Son, Jesus Christ. He is the one appointed by God to be judge of all things. He is the one through whom God has promised to save and redeem his people.
We light this candle today to remind us that he is our hope and the hope of the world. We thank God for the promises he has made to us and for the light he has brought into the world.
Let us pray. O God of hope, Emmanuel, God with us, we pray you send your light into our hearts at this time. Help us to be ready for the day and the hour of Christ's final appearing. Live in us and help us live in you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, transform us so that our worship, our celebration, our time of preparation may be pleasing unto you, both now and forever. Amen.
Let us sing together our Advent song, A Candle is Burning, which we will sing to the tune of Away in a Manger each week as we sing this day. May we sing, Elena? Tune 24 or 25. We wait this season in expectation, with desire, with need to be renewed, with hope that God will come again to share that great promise of hope: we are forgiven. In that spirit, let us come this day, confessing our sin and our brokenness, yearning to be brought closer to God. First, as we pray in silence, and then pray together. Let us pray. We confess, surprising God, that our sense of anticipation has been dulled. We have ceased to expect any wonders from your hand. We do not see the marvels around us in the people and happenings we view as commonplace. We are not alert to your presence or your action on our behalf. Wake us up, God. Pardon and redeem us, that we may escape the judgment we are bringing on ourselves. Send your light, that it may shine through us into a needy world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing verse 1 of our song of confession, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus, number 1 in the large hymnal. Long ago, God said to the people of Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you to myself with unfailing kindness. Love came down at Christmas, embodied in our Lord, celebrated at our table, praised in our worship. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. This is the time in our worship that we share joys and concerns of our hearts and of our community and our world. I invite you to bring your prayers this morning, and I'll have Kathy run the mic.
I'm running it.
Continued prayers for Walter.
Also, continuous prayers for Wanda and Rhonda.
I have a joy. My three pregs are here.
All right.
Three boys. So I'm a grandmother of three boys now. They are all in woman and infant, doing very well, but we still need a lot of prayer. Thank you.
And they're all doing well? Yay. Woo. Instant grandmother.
I ask for prayers for my friend Sharon. She lost her dad this week, so just praying for her and her family.
I have a joy to share. My nephew David and his fiancée Lindsay are getting married this coming Saturday, so I'll be flying to Nebraska to attend their wedding. So prayers that it will be a wonderful, joyous day. I'm sure it will be.
I'd like to ask prayers for my son-in-law, David. He hasn't got much longer to live.
Prayers for David.
Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for everything. True God, I stay here today. And then you remember my friend in Ghana. My friend, brother, my sister, my good friend. His son in New York. He said, go and visit his mother. To take care of your mother, Wednesday they call me and say the son died. So you are remembering the prayer. Nobody as I was not there. I said, Jesus, only you want can put your hand in your chest. And they cry, can stop. Because when you're thinking, the child will sit down, lay down, then you two will go. My brother died. I will cry. Then I open the television. Soon I open the television, they pass out. Stretch your hand. They say, well, they say, you sit, your brother die, say, hallelujah. I say, what? I say, hallelujah, Father. Because you know what reason why someone say, hallelujah. So only you can take a control to our life. Father, the Christmas coming. We don't know where inside. Only you want to know where inside. But take a wing to cover us, Father. We need you to our side every day, every minute. Because we don't know the where the us are down. Father, we begging you. We say all the sister, the brother, the, to you. Well, for you brought cover up. Our children, they are going, they are coming. The working people, they are going, they are coming, Father. You know everybody requests. We just present to you this morning to hold our hand to see the new Christmas and the new year. And you name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. In my way here this morning, I was driving through 290 up in Worcester, and I saw this huge, huge accident there. By the number of cars, police cars, firefighters, trucks around, I believe something very, very serious happened there. And I've been thinking about those involved in this accident, the families, the extension of the pain. So let's remember those in our prayers today.
I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who's been praying for me. And also, yesterday when I was out shopping, I haven't been out in a while, but you know, I On my way home, I had to stop. Well, I was waiting for the bus, and I stopped into the Burger King, and I ordered a coffee, and it took a long time, and I'm not a very patient person, but I was patient for some reason. It must have been God, because there was the girl that was there. She was like 18 years old, because for some reason, ages came up, and she started telling me her problems, in a sense, and she was dealing with the mother and her parents. And this girl has like 3 jobs, goes to school and everything else, and I mean, she was just telling me everything, and I was like, really, like, oh my God, oh my God, and I could understand where she was coming from. And, you know, I feel that God put me there for a reason, because I could just, you know, be there and listen. And, you know, her name's Amber, because I had to ask for her name, because I want to put her in prayer, because this girl, you know, is, like, doing it on her own. And, you know, when I think back and I say to myself, who am I to complain about anything? When this girl is doing everything on her own at such a young age, and having to struggle at such a young age, you know, I just want to say praise, because there's so many young teenagers out there that struggle, and with parents that struggle with addiction, depression, or whatever, you know. And you know, I just want to put people, you know, people like that in prayer, because we don't know what really goes on in the households. And, you know, until somebody just walks along that path and they can reach out, you know, and just sit there and listen. And you know, I just wanted that girl to be put in prayers, because, you know, she was such a beautiful person. And I just want her in prayers, because she's been on my mind since yesterday.
Continued prayers for the Sorvillo family. I visited yesterday to went to the hospital to see Rob. He's doing much better. He was out of ICU on Thursday, and is in a step-down unit, but still very serious. But he was able to talk for a very short time, and thank everybody for their prayers. And they've had lots of community support from their town in East Hampton, Connecticut. So thankfulness for a community who supports a family in need. It's just such a wonderful thing. And continued prayers for Lori and Amanda at home.
We had a wonderful Thanksgiving in our house, and we had family come from Virginia. And they left yesterday so that they wouldn't be in the traffic, and safely got home in about 10 hours. But you know, when Jerison was giving his message this morning about the accident on the road, I thought, so many of our people that are traveling today, you know, people in our congregation that usually are here, but they're not because they're on the road. And I want prayers for traveling mercies for, you know, our friends and neighbors who are traveling this morning, that they'll be safe and not in accidents.
Let us pray. Into this season of preparation, we come to meet you again with hope, O God. Hear and answer the prayers of your people, spoken and unspoken, with strength, compassion, and love, with wisdom that we need, with an abiding sense of your steadfast presence. Renew our hope in that this day, O God, as we bring prayers for ourselves, our community, and our world. Remind us anew in this Thanksgiving season of the answers to prayers we have received, the joys of our lives. In safe travels to be with family in this season, we continue to pray for those who continue to travel. We pray for the Kago and Muchiri families in the steps forward with Ashley's adoption and for the final court date this Friday. May you be at work in getting all of those pieces together to bring them swiftly home. We give thanks, O God, this day that the Asante triplets are here, and we pray for strength and wisdom and energy for these new parents and grandparents. We look forward with Judy to David and Lindsay's wedding on Saturday and pray your blessing upon them and on Judy as she travels to them. We give thanks for Melinda's return. We pray, O Lord, for a world so hurting, for places in the midst of recovery from disaster, war, and hunger, for resources to flow in abundance to the needs around us, for sharing of gifts and encouragement near and far. We remember, O God, this World AIDS Day and so many who are touched by that disease. We remember the work underway in the Philippines to recover from the typhoon. We pray for our world in this Advent that you may come anew as Beatrice has prayed for us. New this Christmas, new this Advent. We pray for David in these final days of his life, for Marilyn and all of their family surrounding him. We pray for those events that take us by surprise and shock and accidents in the day. For Gerson's prayer this day, for the families and persons involved there. We pray for all those who struggle in these days with addiction, depression, with lack of connections to families. We lift up Amber in this time. We continue to pray for Trey and his journey. We pray for those in need of your healing and empowering touch, for Walter, for Wanda and Rhonda, giving thanks for Rob's improvement, for the continuing community surrounding Lori and Amanda, for Shauna in the loss of her father. We pray, O Lord, this day for our presbytery partners listed in our bulletin, our own candidate for ordination, Kathy, as she comes and ministers to us this day. Guide us, we pray, in this season as we come to your table again this day, in simplicity and wonder, in honor and praise, in expectation that you will be with us, Emmanuel, in this season and to the end of time. We praise you for new beginnings and for the courage to follow where you alone will lead. We pray for Bea as she prepares to join us later this month, and for our welcome to her. Make us disciples ever wise in your ways, willing to serve and share your love wherever we find ourselves. This we pray in the name of the one who came to earth, who teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our children are excused to go downstairs to their classes, ages 3 through 5th grade.
Good morning. The New Testament lesson today is Luke 1, 5 to 25. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as a priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and with the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. And when he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is, "O Lord, how shall I meet you," in the large hymnal, number 11.
Thank you. Good morning. When Pastor Chris invited me to preach this Sunday, I knew that we would be coming off of Thanksgiving and savoring the gifts of Thanksgiving, and that this Sunday would be the culmination of our stewardship month at PPC, and that we'd be receiving pledges for 2014 today. What I didn't realize, or I had to think more about it, is that this Sunday would also be the first Sunday in Advent, and it would be Communion Sunday. And so there are a lot of important things that have come together in this one Sunday. And so it's been a little tricky to consider a scripture that might pull together all of these things. But as I thought and prayed about it, I sensed the Spirit guiding me to the opening narrative in the Gospel of Luke that Julie read for you. And it's the story of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And this might seem like an odd choice to you, but I'd like to invite you into this story with me this morning, and then we'll draw some connections to our lives today, and hopefully connections to Advent, Pledge Sunday, and the Lord's Supper. And you'll have to let me know if this works. And since this is a little bit complicated, I think we should begin with prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that your word is living and active. Thank you that you are alive and that you are here with us. And I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive the gifts that you want to give us today. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that I love about the Bible is that it's written mostly in narrative prose. It reads like a story. Unlike other literary genres, biblical narrative invites us as readers to put ourselves in the shoes of the people in the story as they live their lives before God. And this is perhaps what Luke, the writer of this book, was hoping, especially for Theophilus. Theophilus is the man who Luke addresses in the opening of the book in verse 4. And he was most likely the sponsor or the publisher of Luke's book as a patron. But Theophilus was also perhaps someone who needed to know the reality and the truth of this incredible story about Jesus. So Luke could have begun his book about Jesus by simply telling us about Jesus' birth in a brief report. But instead, Luke backs up quite a bit and starts his book with the story of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah. And Luke focuses not really on John, even, but on John's parents. I think there's something important that Luke wanted Theophilus to see in the story about Zechariah, something that Theophilus might relate to. And I think for us as readers and listeners of this story, there's something important for us too in this story of Zechariah. So as the story opens in the first chapter of Luke, we see Zechariah serving as a priest before God in the temple of the Lord. And priests in Israel had specific duties according to the Torah or the law. They served at the temple in Jerusalem for 1 week every 6 months. And it was one of the priest's duties to keep the incense burning on the altar in front of the most holy place in the temple. So the priest supplied it with fresh incense before the morning sacrifice and again after the evening sacrifice in accordance with the book of Exodus. Ordinarily, a priest would have this privilege very infrequently and sometimes never in their entire lifetime, because duty assignments were determined by casting lots. So Zechariah is in the temple, and he has been chosen by lot to burn incense. Now, Luke has given us some backstory about Zechariah and Elizabeth. They have no children. Elizabeth is barren, and now they're both too old to have any children. And so Zechariah's hope of having children is gone as well. It's not just Elizabeth. They've been praying for a child, perhaps for years. They've been waiting and waiting, but have not had any answer. And we learn later that Elizabeth suffered disgrace without a son and because of her barrenness. And it was not uncommon in this society at this time that it was considered a disaster if a man died without a son to carry on the family name. Luke also tells us about their faith. They are righteous. They enjoy a clear conscience before God. So Zechariah and Elizabeth have been faithful to follow the commandments, the ceremonial laws, and to live with moral integrity before God. So these are people who have been really sincere in following God. So Zechariah goes into the sanctuary of the Lord to offer incense, perhaps and probably for the first time in his life. And a shocking thing happens. An angel of the Lord shows up, standing right there, right beside the altar of incense where Zechariah is. The angel is impossible to ignore or to miss. And the angel Gabriel has an incredible message for Zechariah. Not only has God heard their prayers and is now granting them a child, but this child will prepare the way for the promised and long-awaited Messiah. Now, the people of God, the Israelites, have been waiting a long, long time for this, much, much longer than Zechariah and Elizabeth had been waiting for a child. The last word from the Lord came almost 400 years before Zechariah and Elizabeth. There's been no word from God since the prophet Malachi. And Malachi is the last book of the Hebrew Bible. The last words of the Lord to the people of Israel, which are on the last page of our Old Testament, were a promise and a clue to look and wait for the prophet Elijah, who would come to prepare the way of the Lord. And this Elijah-style prophet would turn the hearts of the parents to their children and turn the hearts of the children to their parents. So for the Israelites, this last prophetic word from Malachi would be well known and memorized and even clung to for the last 400 years because it was the last word that they had heard from God. Zechariah would have known this prophetic word. He probably knew it by heart. And this is what the angel proclaims to him. The angel is proclaiming that he is going to have a son, and he's using the language of Malachi. What a shock. Zechariah is terrified. He's caught off guard. He wasn't expecting this at all. And he blurts out, "How will I know this is so? For I'm an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." Another translation of the Bible says, "On what evidence can I be sure of this?" And Eugene Peterson's paraphrase in the Message of puts it even more starkly, "Do you expect me to believe this?" So you get the real sense, I think, there. And in response, Gabriel confronts Zechariah's unbelief and declares that Zechariah will not be able to speak for the next 9+ months until this good news comes true. Now, some of us might be kind of troubled to hear this story and to hear about Zechariah being struck dumb. At first glance, it seems harsh or punitive, especially for those of us who might empathize with Zechariah, and we might recognize in him our own tendency towards skepticism in the face of good news that seems too good to be true. I think it helps to understand what's going on if we compare Zechariah's response to the reactions of the women in this chapter in Luke. When Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, later hears, you know, a week or so later, about this news, she immediately receives it as a gift from God. And then a few months later, Mary, the mother of Jesus, receives a very similar visitation from an angel with news that she would bear the Messiah. And Mary asks questions, just like Zechariah did. So asking questions is not a problem. But Mary asks in a very different posture than Zechariah. She asks in a posture of faith and receptivity, where Zechariah is asking more in a posture of doubt and skepticism. I think what's more noteworthy, though, beyond this, is that Zechariah was a priest, someone who's called by God to publicly declare God's redemptive power in Israel and to bless them in the name of God and to call the people to worship God. A biblical scholar, David Gooding, has written the following that I think is really helpful in understanding what's going on here with the angel. For a private person to refuse to believe the word of an angel over some personal matter is serious enough. But at the time of the angel's visit, Zechariah was not a private person. He was the official, public, priestly representative of the people of God. Moreover, the good news which the angel was bringing Zechariah was not simply a private or personal gospel message. It was a preliminary and integral part of the gospel, the good news itself. If God could not restore the processes of nature in Elizabeth's body, what hope was there that creation itself should ever be delivered from its bondage to corruption? The grounds which Zechariah gave for his disbelief were, without his knowing it, utterly subversive of the entire gospel. So David Gooding concludes from this that Gabriel's action was neither vindictive nor arbitrary. Luke tells us that the people are waiting restlessly for Zechariah to come out from the sanctuary to bless them. Zechariah was supposed to come out and pronounce God's blessing on the people, and this would have been Aaron's blessing in the book of Numbers. It's a very familiar blessing that I'm sure most of you have heard. It goes like this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. But if you think about it, Zechariah has just experienced this. The Lord has turned his face to Zechariah, and Zechariah didn't receive it and didn't believe it. So without faith that God is a God like this, that blesses people, any blessing that Zechariah would give to the people would be empty words. But I think even more than this, Zechariah's season of enforced silence is a surprising gift from God. Zechariah's unbelief doesn't wreck God's gift to Elizabeth or to Zechariah. They are still going to have this baby. I think God is just giving Zechariah some time to think about it. So the next 9 to 10 months of muteness gives Zechariah an incredible opportunity to listen, to think and reflect, to watch, to think about the words that Gabriel spoke to him, to watch Elizabeth and this unfolding pregnancy, to read the scriptures and think about them some more. I think God was giving Zechariah some time to get ready to receive this gift. And if you jump ahead to the end of the story, later in Luke chapter 1, you'll see that Zechariah's speech is eventually restored. It's not actually the day that their son is born, but during the 8th day circumcision and naming of the child, when Zechariah insists that the child's name is to be John, in accordance with Gabriel's instructions, and not Zechariah, as would have been customary and expected, that you would name your only son after the father. Zechariah has learned in the intervening months that it's more important to listen to God than to simply follow what's customary to do, or to do things the way that they've always been done. Zechariah has become ready to receive the gift. And the first words out of Zechariah's mouth, once his speech is restored after this long period of silence, the first words are a beautiful hymn of praise to God. And you can tell from his words, if you look at the end of the chapter, that Zechariah has been reading Malachi during Elizabeth's pregnancy, and he's finally embraced these words about the coming of the Messiah. So his speech has been restored, and his faith has been restored. So what does this story have to do with us today? I have a couple thoughts. Zechariah and Elizabeth had been waiting, longing, and praying for a child. And along with the people of God, they had been waiting and longing for the promised Messiah. And yet it seems that for Zechariah, he had lost hope or maybe forgotten what he was waiting for. Sometimes we wait so long that our waiting loses its expectancy. It's hollowed out to the point that we're not really waiting anymore. We're just going through the motions. And I think this can happen to us in the church today. As Christians, we are Advent people. We proclaim that God has come to us in the birth of Jesus, the first Advent. And we wait with hope for the Lord's second coming to make all things new, the second Advent. Yet we can grow weary or complacent in our waiting or forget what it is we're waiting for. The season of Advent each year is meant in part to awaken us from our complacency and to stoke the fires of our expectancy for the Lord's coming. This Advent, we have a special opportunity at PPC to wait expectantly together during our Sunday morning worship services and also Tuesday nights together. This is a season to wake up and to pay attention to our longing for God. What have you been praying for or longing for? What would it take for you to be ready to receive God and God's gifts, especially when God comes in unexpected times and unexpected ways? How might we become ready to receive God? How is God giving you, perhaps, some space or time to get ready? God is coming whether we're ready or not. I also think that Zechariah's story is instructive for us as we think about stewardship and service in the mission in this season at PPC. Zechariah had been faithfully performing his duties, following the Lord's commandments and serving as priest in accordance with custom. He fulfilled his duties year after year. Yet even though his service involved worshiping the Lord, it seems he was taken off guard when an angel of the Lord actually showed up. And I don't think that Luke is criticizing Zechariah's faithfulness or his steadfastness in service, but it seems that Zechariah had lost sight of God in these things. And I think we too can become complacent in our serving and our giving and our worship. We lose a sense of what these things are all about, that God is in the midst of it, and that God actually shows up. This scripture challenges and invites us to not go through the motions in our service, nor in our worship, but rather to serve with greater hope and mindfulness that the Lord is present and does show up. What would it mean for us to approach our stewardship of money and time and gifts, or our service in the church and the world, or our praying, or our work, our vocation, our worship, or our celebration of the Lord's Supper? What would it mean to approach all of these things with faith and expectation that the Lord is real and present with us today, and that God's promises are true? God is real and present in all of life, whether we recognize God or not, and whether we're ready or not. And I'm so glad that God doesn't wait until we're ready to show up in our lives. God is merciful and generous and kind, and God's gifts don't depend on us. May we be people who welcome the surprising gifts and presence of God. Amen.
friends, this is the joyful feast of the children of God. People will come from north and south and east and west to sit at the table of our Lord God. Friends, this is not a Presbyterian table. This is not a table alone for Presbyterians, but for anyone who seeks to encounter God in this season, who seeks to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, to be touched by grace, to be open to the Spirit's movement. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ as we join together here this day. Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for your Son Jesus, who shared our weakness and was tempted in every way as we are. He came to earth that we and all people might be saved and set free to live in your Spirit that day and for all time. Now give us your Spirit in the breaking of bread and the sharing of this cup, so that by your power we may be drawn together and made one with Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Take these common elements that they might be set aside for your holy and Spirit-filled purpose in the coming to this table. In Christ and through Christ we pray. Amen. Remembering our Lord Jesus, we take bread and share one cup, announcing the death and the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all people and all nations. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Take and eat. And in the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so remembering me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim our Lord until he shall come again. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Cut off from me, you can do nothing. Let us pray together our prayer of thanksgiving found in your bulletin. God of new beginnings, you draw near to us in word and sacrament to strengthen and renew us. Kindle in us the fire of your Spirit. May your light so shine through us that all may welcome your Son at his coming. We ask this in the name of Jesus Emmanuel. Amen.
In remembrance of our Lord, let us give generously our tithes and offerings.